Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And our show, of course, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Let me introduce you. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions today. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Good morning, everybody out there.
Nice, fresh morning.
It is. There's no snow on the ground, at least not in my yard.
That's good. I think that what we did receive, whatever form that precipitation was, did help. It all helps.
It all helps. It all helps.
And before, I know we've got a couple of text messages that came in earlier this morning. But you know what I want to do, and we introduced you, which you are, as a master gardener. We always, every so often, during special times, like to talk about the Master Gardener program and just fill in all of, give us all that information about what's going on with the Master Gardener program.
If you will. Oh, Master Gardeners are going crazy right now. They're all so excited to get into the gardens. A lot of counties and a lot of Master Gardeners have a lot of programs going on. So there's, you know, spring days and plant days and everything else. In fact, I was over at the Wright County spring days and I was just tickled pink. One person who is now a master gardener, he was an intern last year and became a master gardener this year, and he said he was influenced by WCCO. So, like, thank you so much for having this program, because that brought a master gardener into the master gardener fold. It gave him the impetus to get in there, and he was always excited about it. So, hello, John, and hello, everybody in the Wright County Master Gardener Program. You guys did a great plant. Spring plant days. I really appreciate it. But there's just so much going on, and you can find out, you know, call your extension office or go to the extension.umn.edu website, go on the Yard and Garden page, way down at the bottom. They have all the events that are going on, and a lot of those are in there. During the winter, there was one page, and I think they're up to 5 or 7 pages now. So there's a lot going on. And our interns have gone through the core course or are going through core course, so you'll see a lot of those people out there too. And most of the time, we don't send interns out by themselves. They're with a master gardener. So don't think you're getting not good service. There's going to be a professional or a real master gardener out there. I like to think of us as velveteen rabbits. We finally become real. And we're out there and we're ready to answer your questions. And we're as excited for spring as you guys are. So.
Yeah, that, you know, maybe there was some confusion over the years, maybe still, what a master gardener is really about. But you and your colleagues are educators.
We're educators. That's what we are. We're people who love gardening, who have a passion for gardening. We love learning about gardening. But most important, we want to share that information with our community. And we're not like experts or, you know, professionals or above anyone. We are just regular folks who like to share and volunteer in our communities and share the research-based information that we've learned from the University of Minnesota and other websites, other EDUs out there that we've learned that we can share with you, so you have the best chance to do a really good job at gardening and enjoy it, because if it's not fun, you're not going to do it. So we want you to enjoy it. We want you to do it the best and safest way that we know how so far, and we're gonna help you learn that. So look for us everywhere. We're kind of like Japanese beetles, but I'm not as pretty as a Japanese beetle, but I can be as annoying talking about plants and gardens. But we want you to come out and visit us and find out the master gardeners in your community and talk to them and think maybe you want to be a master gardener next year.
Well, we thank you and all of your colleagues, too, doing a great job. And it's great here on a Saturday morning. It's a lot of fun for me and our listeners as well. In fact, I'm looking at a text that came in earlier, I think even before our car show. How do you control forget-me-nots?
Usually they're a fairly short-lived perennial, but what you can do is just, if you want to enjoy the blooms, go ahead and enjoy the blooms, but then cut them back so they can't go to seed. And if you do that for a few years running, you'll probably easily get rid of them. They're also very easy to pull. It's not like they have deep roots or very much like that. So if you really don't want them, just pull them up, and just when you keep seeing more, pull them up. That's the easiest thing to do.
All right, and if you want to be a part of the show, or you want to ask Master Gardener Teresa Rooney your lawn or garden question, you can phone it in. Always love to hear your voice. Or if you'd rather, send a text like a lot of folks do. Either way, one number will get you here, 651-461-9226. Oh, let's see, another text this morning. I have, Texter says, my garlic mulch with 4 or 5 inches of leaves. Is it time to start taking some of those leaves up the from the garlic? Thank you so much. Love the show. What do you think?
You could do that. If you're starting to see the green come up, go ahead and start pulling back that mulch. That'll help the soil warm up faster. You may just want to leave it on the side somewhere, maybe off to the side in your garden, just in case in your area you're going to get the snow won't hurt it. The snow should start melting fairly quickly, but that will help the soil warm up if the sun can get to the soil. But just in case we're going to have a hard hail or it's going to be bitterly cold, it drops down to 20 degrees and I hope that doesn't happen. But then you could just toss some straw back over it or some covering back over it, the leaves back over it. Otherwise, just, yep, start pulling those mulches back to warm up the soil. But do pay attention to what is going to happen in your area. If you're going to have an ice storm, maybe put some of that covering back on. Or if the temperatures drop a lot, you can put that cover back on very quickly and then just pull it back again.
Teresa, a couple of listeners want to know, can I put grass seed down now?
If you can see the soil and the soil is not frozen solid, I suppose even if it was frozen solid, you could do it. It would be best to do it just before a rain. Then you can let Mother Nature water it in and you don't have to worry about it quite as much. Or just before, if you're going to get a light snow, go ahead and put that grass seed down. Yep. Make sure you have good seed-to-soil contact. So press it in or carefully walk on it or just take the back of your rake and just press it so the soil is connected to the seed, and then it'll sprout much easier for you.
That's one thing I've learned over the years doing this show with you and your colleagues that I didn't know years ago, is you got to have that contact.
You got to have contact.
You can't just toss the seed out.
Yeah, most of the plants we know just don't grow in midair. That would be hard to be driving and walking, having plants growing in the midair. They have to be touching the ground, and that's where they're going to put their roots. So if they can't touch the ground, they don't absorb the moisture, and their seed coats don't get broken, and that means they just are still just seeds. They haven't started growing into their plants yet.
Here's another text for you, Teresa. A listener says, I have a raised bed with strawberries. The soil in the raised bed has settled several inches. How do I raise the soil level up without killing the strawberries?
You'd have to do it very, very gradually, and that might mean just sprinkling the soil. You pull back the leaves of the strawberries, or when they're just coming up, just maybe put 1/2 inch of soil on, and then the next time you do it, maybe in a month or 4 or 3 months, put another 1/2 inch of soil on it. It's going to be a slow process unless you can pull that whole bed up, all the strawberries, and replant them then. But you wouldn't want to do that this spring. That's kind of interrupting what they're doing. So.
All right. Give us a call or send a text. Your lawn or garden question as we head to the break. 651-461-9226. 32 degrees in the Twin Cities. We are on our way to 43, so it's a cool morning and a cool day, but sunny near 52 tomorrow. Hey, by the end of the week, Teresa, sunny near 65.
So woo-hoo.
It's happening. Stand
it's
by.
Happening.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning, the 5th day of April. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for us this morning. Either a phone call or a text. We'll get you the answer. 651-461-9226. And we have a bunch, Teresa.
All
bunch
right.
of text messages. Let's see, where did we leave off? Okay. When is the best time to put down Preen, that weed preventer?
I think it's a little too early quite yet, but I'd be looking to put it down. If we get up to 60 towards the end of this week, maybe think about it in another week or week and a half after that. You want to get it down before those annual seeds come up. It's not going to stop your dandelions or anything like that that's already growing, already has roots, but it will stop your seed from sprouting. And don't put it in your lawn unless you don't want your grass seed to grow.
Good point. All right. Listener wants to know, they planted a beautiful Alberta spruce two summers ago. First summer, it thrived. Last summer, it started losing needles, and the top turned brown, and it is dying. Texter was told nurseries do not sell Alberta spruce anymore. Have you heard this?
I haven't heard that they don't sell it, because I try to avoid nurseries because every plant jumps in my cart, and it's just not good. But what it is the Alberta spruce is so prone to browning out and getting sun damage during the hot summers or during our winters when we have bright sunny days. So they just don't do that well for us. They can't take. You'd think with the name Alberta, they take the cool weather, but it's just those drying winds and our long winters. It's just really hard on them. What you can do is just carefully prune out what's dead now. Might look a little funky. It may always look a little funky, but do keep it well watered. And if you've noticed that it's coming out of into the spring when it comes out, when everything starts growing, you get a lot of dead there, then try to think, how can I shade this from the sun next year during the winter time? So maybe put down a little a wall of burlap or something like that around it. You don't want to wrap it really tight. And think also, you don't want to put it on the south or southwest side of your home right against the foundation. That foundation reflects that heat back onto the plant, and that can really stress it and can dry out those needles.
Okay. This listener wants to know, when to trim a 30-year-old yew and how much it can stand. It's gotten out of control.
They do get a little wild and crazy, don't they? So as soon as you start seeing the new growth, you could go out there and you can trim it back. The yews do have growing points further back on their branches many times. You wouldn't want to trim it back to all dead, but you might want to, if you can think of the yew that you're seeing now like the canopy of a tree, cut out a few branches that lets light get back into the plant, and that might spur some growth there, so you're not cutting it back to just a brown plant, and it may it can't come back from that. You want to leave most of the green on and say maybe take about 10-15% and try to punch some holes in that canopy, so to speak, to get that light in there and trigger those growths so that then you can have some more needles fluffing out inside. And then you can do that again next year. You can even do it maybe later in the season. If you see it's responding well, you can start cutting it back. I hope that makes sense.
Very good. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions this morning here on our Smart Garden Show. Here is another one. Texter planted an amaryllis in mid-January. All I have so far are 5 green leaves coming up. Should I be fertilizing it? How much do I water it? How long will it take to get some blossoms?
Well, it kind of depends. My English is bad. It should have started to show some growing of the blossom. You may want to lightly fertilize it a little bit. Make sure it's getting a good amount of sunshine and it's warm. It could be that the bulb you had was just a little young, so it didn't get enough energy before it went dormant the last time, so it doesn't have the energy to bloom, but it is getting those leaves out there now, and those leaves are starting to photosynthesize. If it doesn't flower this year, you can actually set that out in its pot in the garden or on your deck or someplace. Keep it well watered. You don't want it soaking wet. You want the water like the soil like a wrung out sponge, that dampness, and let it grow all summer long and be beautiful and green, and then it should get enough energy to bloom next year.
Very good. Another lawn question. This lawn needs to be rolled, listener says. It's nearly unworkable after 20 years. Does the lawn need to be totally dry, or would it be good in a few days?
I would not do it when it has much moisture in that. You want it a little bit more on the dry side. When you're rolling it, and every time I hear that, I just cringe because I think it's, you know, compacting the soil. So I just do a little cringe here just so you know. It's not TV, so you can't see that. But sometimes you might have to flatten out some areas. So do it when the soil is starting to dry out, when it's getting a little, not super dry, but when it's not wet, it's not spongy, and then dry it out, then roll it, and see how it goes after that. You may want to do some more work on it in the fall, in the late summer, and I would definitely suggest going to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and I believe there's some good information there about taking care of those bumpy lawns.
I think this next text would be a good advice, too, to get to the website, the U of M website. A listener says, we had to cut down 3 dead ash trees in our yard. What is a good tree to replace them with? Check out the U of M.
Check out the website. There's actually a plant design design there. It's featured right at the top. They've really elements of plant design can give you some really good information that you can check out. City trees, you want to make sure you look up first and then figure out what you want. If you can put in 3 different trees or 2 different trees, that would be great, rather than 2 maples or 2 Kentucky coffee trees. Have some variety out there. That really helps. Then, if you can, head out to the Arboretum and walk around the Arboretum or drive on 3 Mile Drive and check out what some of those trees look like. They won't have their leaves on yet, but you'll be able to see the size. So you know how big a white oak is going to get. You know how big a magnolia might get. So you have some ideas about what you're looking at. And if you don't decide this spring, you can decide, you know, into the fall. But then you can go out to the Arboretum again and look to see what they look like in life with their fruits or their flowers or just their leaves. You can get a good idea. So, and what do you want it for? Do you want it for shade? Are you looking to bring in birds and pollinators? Are you looking for it to be some kind of windbreak for your house? Think about all of those things and what your ashes did for you before that you really liked and that you really didn't like, and then go from there. I would suggest veering away from maples. We've got enough maples out in the environment now. We don't want to, again, have so many maples that when something comes in, it kills all the maples, or something comes in, it kills all the elm trees. And just do some research. Talk to master gardeners. If you see a plant in a yard, a tree in a yard, find out what it is if you want to talk to your neighbors and talk to them, too.
Good idea. Stand by, Teresa. We're going to take a break for that forecast, and we have more Smart Garden to come. Call or text your lawn or garden question at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all of your lawn and garden questions this morning, and we appreciate that. You want to call in and chat with Teresa or just send her a text, either way, here is the number, 651-461-9226. Teresa, there are, boy, let's see here, burlap off my boxwoods. Can I take them off now? There's a Chicagoland green, that's the type of boxwood. They're in full sun, by the way.
Yep, I would say go ahead and take them off and just make sure they stay well watered. We've had a nice amount of moisture, so they should be okay, but just keep an eye on it. Yep.
Is it okay to remove old leaves and stems from daylilies now, and how often do they need dividing?
You'll find that your daylilies stop, I'll answer the second part first. You'll find your daylilies stop blooming as much when they get into the shade or if they get crowded, and that's when you can divide them. You could divide them right now if you want to, if you can get out there, if you just want more daylilies and you want to plant them in other places. Yes, it's okay to start taking those grasses, those clippings off, or those dead leaves off. You can remove that. Make sure that the ground, though, if you're stepping into the garden, is not squishy. You don't want it squishy. You want it to dry out a little bit. If it's really squishy or feels real squishy and real wet, don't step in your garden. Maybe just admire it from afar till you can get in there.
Very good. Let us take a phone call this morning. Teresa, Mark checking in from West St. Paul, I believe. Mark, thank you. What's your question for Teresa?
Teresa, I grew some squash last year, and they came up really good to start with, but then all of a sudden the vines just started to dry up and kind of wilt and kind of lost their vitality, and then I got very small squash, and I was wondering if you would know what's causing that.
Yep, what I would do, Mark, and thanks for your question, squash can be kind of tricky sometimes. There's squash bugs, which you would have seen, kind of gray bugs that like to hide under the leaves, but they eat a lot of the plant, and that can impact it. But probably what you were seeing was a squash vine borer. It's a insect that burrows into the base of your plant, lays eggs, and then this worm, caterpillar, slug-like thing, it's a little insect, starts to eat all the stuff that the eggs hatches, and it starts to eat all the inside of the squash vine, so the nutrition can't be, the water can't be sent up to the leaves to keep them plump. So if you think that's what it is, you look under, right under by the base of the plant, and you'll see like a hole, or you'll see something going on, and that will be a good indication. You can slit that open slightly, pull out the insect, the larva, looks really gross, throw it away, and then you can pile up the soil around that cut area, and it should resprout. If you know that you're going to get squash vine borer every year, and most of the times they are pretty active out there, as the vine grows, you can, where it touches the ground, you can just press it into the ground, maybe put a small rock or something. A landscape pin is really good. It just kind of holds that vine. You can make a tiny cut in the bottom of the vine, put that vine onto the soil, and then roots will appear there. And you can do that numerous places as the vine grows out. That way, if the borer gets to the first part, you can take care of it, but then your squash vine has other ways to get water from the soil because it's rooted out many times, and that can give you some more fruits too. What you might not have had issues, or you might have had issues with no pollinators there, so maybe the vine was only producing male flowers and then it has a female flower, but there's no pollinators to do the pollination, so you want to make sure that you're not doing something that's getting rid of the pollinators in your area, because they're the ones that have to move the pollen from the male to the female plant. You can also do that by taking the male flowers and cutting them and smooshing them onto the female flowers, so then the pollen is transferred and then the plants will grow. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, go to that area, look under vegetables or problems, and then go that way. There's a lot of good information about squash plants. And good luck, Mark. Make sure you cleaned up really well. That gets rid of a lot of the eggs that there may be left in the soil. And if you can do crop rotation, that's good too. But if you can't, just make sure you clean up really well. Take out all the dead stuff.
Very good. Before we get back to the text messages, let's grab another phone call. Susan is calling in from New Prague, Minnesota today. Thank you, Susan. What is your question?
Hi there. Thank you. I'm needing to transplant Virginia from one area to another. And, of course, it looks like a dead plant right now. And I'm just checking to see when would be a proper time to dig under it and move it.
technically, since it's going to bloom in the spring, I would do it after it finishes blooming. However, if you have to do it now, or now's the only time and your soil's not frozen, make sure you dig the hole where you want to transplant it to. Dig up as much as you can. Don't disturb the roots and just pop it into its new hole. You can do that too. However, the best time would be right after it blooms. Good luck with that, Susan. Those are one of my favorite plants too.
Very good. Should you, Tester says, add 10-10-10 fertilizer when planting bare root plants? They mentioned dogwood and downy serviceberry tree.
Well, actually, you don't need fertilizer for those guys. They're pretty hardy plants, so you shouldn't have to fertilize. I would suggest maybe adding some compost in or just top dressing with a little compost. If, however, once you've planted them, you want to sprinkle some 10-10-10 around, maybe wait a week or three, and then just sprinkle it lightly around them just before a rain or water that 10-10-10 in. Those are really hardy plants, and you shouldn't have to do a lot with them. They're not something you're going to probably ever need to fertilize again, and if possible, I just put some compost down. That would be the easier way.
Okay, you're gonna have to help me with this one, Teresa. Texter says, I've been growing bush Blue Lake 274 beans for years. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, I've had peas planted in the vicinity, and about half the bean plants have not been bush, and the beans on those plants have been flat, not round. Do you think they're cross pollinating with the peas?
I don't think they're cross-pollinating with the peas unless you're harvesting your own beans, and then they wouldn't cross-pollinate with peas, but they would cross-pollinate with other beans in the area. So that's probably not happening. You could just be getting some seed that was mismarked. So if you're doing your own seed saving, then there may be other plants that are impacting those seeds, although that's a hybrid from what I understand, if I remember that right. And when you save hybrid seeds, their progeny the next year, you don't know what you're going to get. The seed pulls its DNA from all over weird stuff. It's not like an open pollinated plant where you're always going to get that kind of plant and that selection of plant. The hybrids can revert and they can cross-pollinate and they do weird stuff. So buy fresh seeds every year for the beans or your hybrids. That would be the best choice.
Okay.
And those are nice little bush beans, just little. They're very good bush bean, the little round green beans.
Okay. This listener says, are we able to transplant pepper plants deeper in the soil as we do with tomatoes?
You know, that's a really good question, and I've thought of it, and I've researched it a little bit, and I have found that you should not do that. Tomatoes are the only plants you should ever plant deeper. Oh, even though they're all in the same family, you'd think, why not? But that's just the way they are. Right. Tomatoes are special.
Teresa, this listener has seeds to plant for a bee butterfly garden. They ask, what is the earliest I can plant them?
If you're planting them outside, it depends on the seed. If it's a native seed, you could put it in the ground now if your ground is available for it. Some of those seeds do, however, need to go through a stratification, so they might sit there all summer not do anything for you. So if you have seeds, read the seed packet, and that will tell you it needs to go through winter stratification, which means you probably want to plant it in the fall then, or do a winter sowing next season on it. Or if it just says plant, 2 weeks before the last frost in your area, you can go ahead and plant it when that's appropriate for your area. So read the seed packet. That's the best thing to do.
Let us take another phone call this morning. Marcia is checking in from Freeborn this morning. Hi, Marcia. What is your question for Teresa? Hello, Marcia.
Yes.
Don't be shy.
No. Yes, we... have magnolias and diplodenias that we cut back and put the pots in a cool place, dark place. Is it too late now for them to be watered and try to get them
nope.
to grow
I'd
again?
Go ahead and I'd go ahead and bring them out of their hibernation, start watering them, get them in your sunniest windows, and then when we're way past the frost, you can go ahead and plant them outside in your containers. Good for you.
All right. Thanks, Marcia. Appreciate the call. I'm looking at a whole bunch of texts. Variegated dogwood, dwarf burning bush, gold flame spirea, can they be trimmed now?
Those can all be trimmed now, yes.
Okay. This listener is planning to plant tomatoes in 5-gallon buckets. Should I drill holes in them, Texter says. Also, what type of soil do you recommend for them?
Oh, those are excellent questions. Yes, a 5-gallon bucket would be the minimum size I'd use for the tomatoes. Go ahead and drill the holes. You always want to plant any plant in a container has to have holes because they need that water to drain out so that the oxygen isn't forced out of the soil. And you want to use a potting soil. It's not garden soil. You don't have to use seed starter, but you want to use potting soil. And that's what you want to use when you do your pots. Good questions.
Okay. All right. This listener wants to know how you get rid of horseradish. I love horseradish.
So what you can do is you have some options. There's, of course, always spraying a killer chemical on it. That's an option. That would not be my option. What I would do is once you have horseradish, you usually always have horseradish. But what you can do is dig up the plant and take as much of the root as you can get out and take that out. And understand every little bit of root you leave back there could make a potential new plant. So try not to be breaking roots. Dig a big area. Maybe you want to dig as big of an area as you can, put that onto a tarp, and then shake off as much dirt on there. Make sure that you have no more roots in there, and then put it back in the empty hole and just refill it up with regular garden soil. You might want to do that, but it's going to be a process. So it's going to be digging and removing what you see and removing every plant that comes up after that. Good luck.
Yum. Horseradish.
Oh, horseradish is so good.
you get a little hungry about this time of day, at least.
You do.
All right. Teresa, hang on. We'll take a quick break.
Okay.
Be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning for you at 651-461-9226. All right. Teresa, we've got so many questions, and I apologize. We won't be able to get to them all. We'll try. Here's another one. I've raised beds that test as alkaline and want to change to more acidic for veggies. I'm planning to add peat moss to my beds. How much is too much, or what happens if I do put too much on?
You probably can't put too much on. You'll need to break up the peat moss and blend it into the soil, so you can't just top dress with it. You really need to blend it into the soil. There's probably not too much. If you really need to make the soil not as alkaline, and vegetables are pretty forgiving, you could do something like soil sulfur and just sprinkle their little granular pellets, and just sprinkle that on top of the soil and then work your plants in if you really need to change it. But unless it's a really weird alkaline pH of 8 or 9 or 10, which means no plants will probably grow in it, you probably don't need to change the pH on it. You could always do a soil test and get the recommendation from the soil test people.
All right. Let's grab a phone call before we run out of time. Dick is calling in from Minnetonka, I believe, this morning. Morning, Dick. What's your question for Teresa?
Teresa, I lost a couple of oaks in the backyard, and I'm trying to replace them. And I look and find a cedar tree, European red cedar tree, that looks good, but it seems to have some diseases. Do you know anything specifically about that European red cedar tree?
I don't know specifically about that one. You could check the university website, extension.umn.edu. So you had an oak tree, but you're replacing it with an evergreen. Think about if that's what you really want to do, because it's not probably going to get as big as your oak. You may want to replace it with another deciduous tree, and then again, you can go to the extension website and what tree should I choose and work that way. Um, I I don't know about the European. I've heard of Eastern red cedar, but I don't know about the European red cedar. So you'd want to make sure it's hardy in our area. And if it is prone to diseases, you may want to find another plant to work with instead of something that you know you're going to have problems with. And good luck with that one, Dick. It's fun to plant a new tree, but it's kind of scary too sometimes.
Teresa, we always like to ask what's going on at the Arboretum. I want to not forget to do that.
Oh,
what is happening?
There's so much going on at the Arboretum. So the pussy willows are blooming. And did you know that pussy willows are good for pollinators? Bet you didn't know that. But there's also things like the passiflower and the dewdrops are starting to grow. The snowdrops and the snow trillium are growing. And then if you just need some beautiful color, head to the conservatory and the Hoyas or the wax plants are blooming. But I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite here and tease you a little bit. The design and the horticulture designer, Dwayne Otto, he decides what the color scheme is. And this year for the spring bulbs, it's going to be citrus. So you'll be seeing lots of yellows and oranges and greens. And then there'll be pops of purple in there to just give you a little bit of interest. They plant 108 varieties last year. And it's 41,000 bulbs, if you can imagine that. And those guys, they all plant it within 4 days. So that's 10,000 bulbs a day they're planted. So that should be really exciting. They should start showing more at the beginning of May. And then the last 2 weeks of May, they'll be in their peak. So they'll just be fantastic there. And then if you're thinking about home demonstration or your garden, your vegetables, the home demonstration garden chooses good seeds out there, different seeds. They use the Master Gardener seed trials and the All-American selection trials, seeds that are suggested. And Ted Pugh, he selects from those, so you can go out there and see what's going to be popping for this year and then maybe get some ideas for your garden next year, or sometimes you can even plant them in next year. So that will be in the home demonstration garden, and that's when the gardens are actually starting to grow. So they're not growing now. They didn't put out the tomatoes or anything now yet. It's way too early. But those are things you can look forward at the ARB. There's so much excitement going on there.
Excellent. Before we run out of time, looking at a text from Illinois this morning, a texter says, we have a peach tree loaded with blooms, and Monday night we have a forecast temp of 26 for a low. Any thoughts or ideas how to protect it for one night?
Oh, boy. Make sure it's really well watered. If you can, and you probably don't have like a smudger out there, so you're not going to be able to do that. In a lot of the orchards, they will actually have little fires going on, little smudges, and it just makes the air a little warmer around there. If it's too big to actually cover the peaches, the flowers, because it's a tree, you may want to maybe go out in the just as it starts to dip down below zero, take your garden hose and actually spray the whole tree down. So you coat the tree and that water kind of warms it a little bit and kind of protects it from the frost. But if it does get really bad, you may lose your crop of peaches this year. It won't hurt the plant. The plant will be fine. It just means the flowers will fall off and they won't get pollinated, and the flowers will be killed if they have been, because the peaches bloom really early, and that's something we all deal with when we're growing peaches or apricots or those early blooming trees, that the flowers can frost off pretty easy with those late spring frosts. So I wish you all the best there in Illinois, and thanks for asking the question. And you guys have a really good website, too, with your extension, so you can check on your extension site. They might have some good information.
And speaking of which, Teresa, we're just about out of time, seconds to go. Give us that University of Minnesota website, and thanks for this morning. But, check out the U of M website.
Yep. And the Hennepin County Master Gardener plant sale is May 7th to 17th, Saturday, at the Hopkins Pavilion. Ramsey has their plant sale that day, too. But go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. There's a lot of timely information on there for you. And I wish you guys all the best and happy growing.
Yeah, and you remind us next time you're on about that plant sale.
I will do that,
Along in May. Yeah, it's a great idea. All right, Teresa, thanks so much again. Always fun.
Thanks, Denny. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.